Acts chapter 3 tonight, begin to read together at verse number 19. Acts chapter 3, begin to read together, please, at verse number 19. Let us hear the word of God. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass, that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abram, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you from his iniquities. We'll end our reading at verse number 26, and we know God will bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer as we come to this point in the meeting. If you're here and you love the Lord, do pray. Pray for me, pray for the meeting. Pray that the Lord will draw near. Speak to every heart. Let's all who love the Lord, let's unite our hearts together. Let's seek the throne of God and of grace. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee and praise thee again for another opportunity to draw near to the eternal throne of grace. We thank thee, Father in heaven, for the way to thy throne by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who brings us nigh upon the merits of his own blood and his own righteousness. And how we bless thee for what we have in Christ. How we bless thee, O God, for the garments of salvation. And for that precious blood that cleanses from all sin. And we come into the courts of heaven and we plead all its value and all its merit. And we pray, Father in heaven, that now for a season, thy presence would intensify even more in this meeting now. We thank thee for what has already taken place. We thank thee, O God, for the worship thus far. But we pray for the continued help of the eternal Spirit. Father, I confess before thee my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me here. I lay myself before thee. I cry, O God, that thou would empty me of everything that would hinder in this meeting. And thou would wash me completely in the Redeemer's blood from all sin and all that would hinder. And fill me now with the Holy Ghost and with power. O Father, there is no sufficiency in man to deal with this. But our sufficiency is of God. Thou hast said, certainly I will be with thee. Lord, be with us now. Put your hand on us. Close the meeting in with thee. Close the meeting in with God. Meet the need of every heart. Speak to the sinner. Save the lost. Unite homes in grace. And glorify the Lamb upon his throne. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. The setting here before us, the Lord Jesus Christ has returned to heaven. The disciples now walk by faith, not by sight. The promised Holy Ghost, the Comforter, has come. This band of once fearful disciples are now full of power. It all happened in the upper room on that day of Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, what power they had that day to preach Christ. It was a day like none other as far as soul winning was concerned for these disciples. 3,000 souls are saved, added to the church. But still they hunger for more blessing. Still they long for more of God. They continue to pray, and the Lord continues to work with them and add to the church daily, such as should be saved. But still the church goes forward. It was a time in the church history when the church went forward on its knees. But it is in chapter 3 here, as these two of these disciples Peter and John go to enter into the temple. I know it's a well-known portion, but let's just recap on the chapter. They go to enter into the temple, which is called Beautiful. A man is lying at the temple gate. He had been lying there all his life. He lay there daily. Verse 26 tells us he was a man that was well known in the city. He lay at this gate continually. But when he's healed and walks and leaps and praises God, when that happens to him, Peter, seizing the moment to say a word for Christ, because when it happens, all the people marvel and wonder at what has happened to this man. But Peter, seizing the moment to say a word for the Savior, tells them in verse number 12, "It has nothing to do with our power or holiness that this man is healed. But the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob have glorified his son by this miracle." You see, this miracle was used by God to authenticate the message that the apostles were preaching. That message was Christ. That message was the one that they had nailed on a tree. And God raising up this man glorifies his son. Peter says to them in verse 26 and verse 26 or verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as also your rulers." Peter tells them, he realizes that what they did it in ignorance. But notwithstanding, verse 19, he commands them to repent of their sin. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out." Peter then, knowing the high regard that they have for Moses and his law, says to them in verse 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you." Here's Moses, he reminds them. Here's Peter, he reminds them what Moses had said, that a prophet would be raised up. And then Peter tells them, "You've killed that prophet. You took the Prince of Life. You denied him. You rejected him. The one that you have killed is the one that Moses spoke of. You've killed the Messiah. You are the children of the prophets. You're the children of the covenant." He tells them, "You've killed the Messiah. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." That's the setting here. But in verse number 26 is what I want to look with you tonight. Verse number 26 of this chapter 3 of Acts. "Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning every one of you from his iniquities." I want to speak tonight on God's greatest blessing, sending Christ to turn man from sin. Sending Christ to turn man from sin. Firstly, I want to show you from this verse number 26, unto whom he was sent. Peter says in verse 26, "Unto you first, God having raised up his son, Jesus." The thought is, in those words raised up there, Peter's speaking or referring right from Christ's birth, his life of obedience to the law, his atoning death and resurrection. Peter's setting forth the truth to these Jews that unto them first God did this. Christ was the message of the prophets. Christ had been born a Jew. He lived in Israel. John 1 tells us he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He lived among these people. He went about doing good among them. He healed their sick. He raised their dead. He obeyed the law and its demands among these people. Peter says, "Unto you first, God did this." Christ preached in their streets. That great prophet of God, he taught them. "Unto you first, God did this." Throughout the Old Testament, God had dealt with this nation. What a privileged people. Romans 3 we read, "Unto you were committed the oracles of God." What privileges they had. When the Savior, our Lord Jesus, sent his disciples out to preach, he sent them to the house of Israel. Turn with me to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 5. Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of the Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Paul and his missionary journeys, he went to the Jew first. What did he say in Romans 1? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Oh, what privileges they'd spurned. Peter says, unto you first. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus. Now maybe you're here in this meeting tonight unsaved. And you're saying, were those Jews wise enough? Could they not see that the one that was in the midst of them was the Messiah? Did they not understand that he was the Messiah? Could they not understand that? Dear unsaved friend, don't be too hard on them. Don't be too hard on them. You see, the problem of the Jew was this. In many cases, the Jew wanted a Messiah of their own imagination. They didn't want the Christ of the Scriptures. They didn't want the Christ of the Scriptures. Trample down the Romans, we'll accept you. Set up an earthly kingdom, we'll have you as our Messiah. But don't come and deal with our sin. Don't tell us we're of our father, the devil. No, no. They wanted a Messiah. They wanted a Christ of their own imagination. They didn't want a Christ of the Scriptures. And the reason I say, dear unsaved, don't be too hard on them. Is that not your point? I'll have the Christ of the manger. But I don't want one that takes away my sin. I don't want a Savior that's going to deal with my sin. Oh, they would have taken them all right if they trampled down the Romans. You see, my dear friend, maybe the reason you're still not saved is Christ doesn't suit your lifestyle. Because the message of the gospel is repent. Repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You want a Christ that suits your lifestyle. You're just like the Jew. But my dear friend, salvation is in God's terms. It's repentance towards God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ had trampled down the Romans, the Jews would have accepted him. They wanted a Messiah of their own imagination. Peter tells them, unto you first, God having raised up a son. But dear sinner, I want you to see this. Peter did not tell these Jews, unto you only. He didn't say, unto you only, God has raised up a son. Christ was raised up for sinners. Christ was raised up to save sinners. Rahab wasn't a Jew. The Queen of Sheba wasn't a Jew. But unto them also God set forth a son. Christ was preached unto them. They looked by faith to the coming Messiah. And dear unsaved friend, here you are again tonight in the meeting. And we're glad you're here. And again, Christ has been preached unto you. Again, Christ has been set before you. The message of the gospel, repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Yes, it was to the Jew first, but it was also to the Greek. Christ was raised up for a world of sinners. Unto a world of sinners was he sent. Unto a world of sinners. But secondly, what was the need for Christ to come? What was the need for Christ to be sent? Well, the need for his coming, the need for Christ to be sent is summed up in that little word at the end of the verse 26, iniquities. The need for Christ to come was that little word, iniquities. That word itself, it means evil, wickedness. The need for Christ to come was this world was fallen. This world was fallen in sin. Paul put it like this in Romans 5, verse 12, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin, transgression of God's law, all sinners, Jew and Gentile. That's what Romans 3 tells us. There is no difference, for all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. short of the standard of God, short of God's law. Sinner, you've got to see your condition tonight. We live in a world where everybody's very concerned, and I understand it to a certain degree, of what other people think about them. But you have a far bigger problem. You've got to see tonight in this meeting, you've got to forget about everybody around you. You've got to forget about this preacher. And just ask yourself now, how does God see me? How does God see me? Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 9. Because here we see the human race in its true colors. Romans chapter 3, verse number 9. We'll begin to read there. We'll just go down this. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throats an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. The way of peace with God have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. There's God's description of man. Look at verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. If you have imagined that word guilty, it means subject to judgment. All the world, Jew and Gentile, subject to judgment. Subject to judgment because of their sin. The need for his coming. Iniquity. Man has fallen. Oh, sinner friend, tonight see your sin. See what it is. See what it is. Sin is a moral evil. It brings you under the condemnation of God. Sin is just not a little something you did in somebody else. That is not what sin is. The Bible calls it lawlessness. It's lack of conformity to God's law. We don't believe what dear Roman Catholics are taught, that sin is only actions that you do. We maintain that sin is thoughts and affections and intents of the heart. It's outward. It's inward. Man is born totally depraved, cut off from God, on his way to eternal ruin, dead in his trespasses and sins. Sinner friend, see how God describes you tonight. You sit in the gospel meeting. As I've already said, we're glad you're here. But you've got to see how God sees you. Because he's the one with whom you have to do. He's the one you've offended time without number. He's the one that you've rebelled against. He's the one that is angry with your sin. As I said the last night I preached here, sin is an attack upon God. His goodness, his mercy, his love, his justice. Sin is an act of rebellion against God. And the sin of our country and the sin of you, dear sinner friend, goes heavenward. Goes heavenward, up to that eternal throne, holy throne. God's angry with the wicked every day. Dear sinner friend, see your condition. You're in trouble with God. You're in trouble with God. Man is depraved. Paul said in Romans 7, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Jeremiah, that man of God, says the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The need for Christ to be sent, iniquity. Man was fallen. The fallen world. But thirdly, I want to show you the reason he was sent. Look again at our text, going back to Acts chapter 3. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. How did Christ come to bless us? He came to turn every one from his iniquities. But firstly, I want to show you this. Christ came to bless in firstly dealing with sin. Firstly, he came to deal with sin. The sense of those words there, bless or blesses you, blessing you, sorry. Christ came blessing you. Paul said in verse 25, look at verse 25 with me. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abram, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 now. Because surely that prompts the question, who is this seed? Who is this seed of Abraham? In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. This great blessing. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. My friend, Christ, the seed here. In Christ are all the nations of the earth blessed. In Christ are men turned from their sins. Sinner friend, see again where the Lord's pointing you tonight. Your great problem is your sin. But Peter tells them here, in Christ are men blessed. In Christ, who's in view? Christ. The seed is Christ, the one who knew no sin. But sinner, listen, the one that came to deal with sin. He didn't sin. He knew no sin. He couldn't sin. You let that sink into your heart. He couldn't sin. Christ was the impeccable Christ. He came to do all that Adam didn't do. He came to undo all that Adam did do. He honored the law that you and I have broken time without number. And as I said the last night, sinner friend, what you need to get you to heaven, what you need to have sins forgiven is only found in Christ. This message is never going to change. It's Christ you need. It's found in Christ. He honored the law, you have broken time without number. And then he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And there offered himself without spot to God, paying the penalty of sin, satisfying divine justice. Sinner, asked yourself the question, why was he at the cross? It wasn't for his sin, we've already seen that. He didn't have any. And yet he went there to pay for sin. Whose was he paying for? My sin. The sins of his people. Bearing shame. Scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. Sinner, see it tonight. In Christ. In him. There is this blessing. Christ came to bless, but he came to deal with sin. He came to put it away by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, sinner, let me remind you of the words of Jeremiah. Let them sink into your heart. Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? See if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. For if the Lord have afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger, sinner, does Calvary mean nothing to you? Does it mean nothing to you? Why was he there? He was there to save his people from their sins. He was there to satisfy divine justice. He was there to propitiate divine wrath, that the Jew and the Gentile might enjoy the blessing of pardon for sin. Sinner friend, the life and death of Christ is the foundation upon which God will pardon your sins. Upon which God will pardon your sins. The reason he came to deal with sin. The blessing of forgiveness. You never get to Christ, friend, you will never be forgiven. I don't know your sin, but you do know it. You never get to Christ, you will never be forgiven for it. And there is never going to be a day in the great eternity when God will forgive you for what you've done. Never. Because forgiveness of sin, as I've already said, wasn't by being a Jew. And it's not by being a free Presbyterian. Forgiveness of sins is in Christ. And if you never get to Christ, friend, you will never be forgiven. God won't ever forgive you. That is a fearful statement. There are men in the Bible. Tonight they're in hell. God isn't ever going to forgive them for what they did. I don't know all their sins, but they're in hell because of their sin. And God's never going to forgive them for what they did. They'll pay a price of that sin forever. And yet we see here again, unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. The great blessing that Christ came was to deal with sin. Sinner, see this. See your need tonight. You need Christ. Unto you first. Yes, to the Jew first, but thank God also to the Greek. How else did he bless? The text goes on, and turning every one of you away from his iniquities. Christ was sent to turn men from their sins. He came to deal with sin, and then he turns men from their sins. Peter here is reaffirming the doctrine that he spoke of in verse 19, the doctrine of repentance. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. What is repentance? I'm going to give you a quote here from J.C. Ryle. I think it's probably one of the best I've ever read. Let me read it to you. True repentance begins with the knowledge of sin. It goes on to work sorrow for sin. It leads to confession of sin before God. It then shows itself before man by a thorough breaking off from that sin. It results in producing a habit of deep hatred for all sin. Repentance. Dear sinner friend, see your great need tonight. Repentance towards God. Realize what you've done. Realize you're a sinner, cut off from God in your rebellion, in your wickedness, in your Christ rejection, and see that your only hope is in Christ. Repentance is the way to blessing. Though God commands all men everywhere to repent, he comes here and tonight, and what does he say to you, sinner? Repent ye and be converted. Repent ye and be converted. Turn from your sin. As I said earlier, the Jews would have had the Messiah, but he didn't suit them. And could it be in this meeting that there is one sinner, and between you and God, you know the sin that's keeping you back? It's that darling sin, that sin that your heart cherishes. And you can't let it go. Because you know if you come to Christ, it has to go. Because salvation's in God's terms. Oh, if you could just have it, you'd have Christ. My dear friend, it's repentance towards God. It's goodbye sin. Welcome, Lord Jesus Christ. Goodbye sin. Oh, sinner friend, see this tonight. Christ has died. He has bore iniquity. He's made an end of sin. But friend, that will avail you nothing unless you come to him. That will avail you nothing unless you partake of it. For you to receive the fruit of Christ's death, you must repent and believe the gospel. You must turn from iniquity. And if Christ doesn't pardon your sin, there is no other blessing for you. There is no other blessing. For unless he saves you from your sin, there is nothing else. There's nothing else for you from God but wrath. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see your condition here, dear unsaved friend. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul's talking to these believers, but he's reminding them of what they were before God saved them. He's reminding them of what they were before the Lord saved them. Look at verse 12. That at that time, that's before you were saved, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope. Sinner, see that. There's the Lord's description of you tonight. You have no hope. Out of Christ, you have no hope whatsoever. You have no hope in death. You have no hope of heaven because you're without Christ. You're without God in this world. Oh, sinners, see this. There's your condition, out of Christ. And yet the Lord's exhorting you tonight to see this, see how you stand before Him, see that your only hope of salvation is in Christ, and He's telling you, repent, be converted. But there is repentance. It's required of you. It's the great reason Christ came, to save His people from their sins, save us from all iniquity, save us from the consequence of our sins, save us from this present evil world, as Paul told the church in Galatia. Sinner, hear this today. Repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Let me ask you something. Do you want to be forgiven? Answer that in the quietness of your heart. Do you want to be in heaven? Answer that in the quietness of your heart. And remember, God is watching. He knows your response to it all. Well, here's the way it is. You've wronged Him. You've sinned against Him time without number. Your life to this point has been one act of rebellion against your Creator. None of us deserve anything from God but the lowest hell. And yet God comes in mercy, sends His Son, made under the law, to redeem them, rescue them that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. But sinner friend, it's repentance towards God. The sin has to go, whatever it is. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Christ. And it's in Him alone. Christ came to save His people from their sins. He came to bring many sons unto glory. He came to make His people new creatures in Christ. Well, friend, what about you? What about you? Our heart's desire. We can say this. We can look you in the face and say this. Our heart's desire and prayer to God for you is that you might be saved. But all our heart's desire will not save you. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to repent. Believe the gospel. See how God sees you. Matters not how anybody else sees you when you listen to this. Everything else pales into insignificance. You're in trouble with God. You're on your way to eternal ruin. If you say, I won't have Christ, the tragic consequence of that is eternal ruin's your portion. Sinner, see this. Unto whom was He sent? A world of sinners. Why did He come? The world was fallen. Came to deal with sin. Came to turn men from their iniquities. Sinner, what are you going to do? All things are ready. Christ has died. His blood has been shed. The law has been honored. All things are ready. But you've got to come to Him. You've got to come to Him. You've got to come to Him. Peter's clear in this sermon. Go back with me to Acts 3:22-23. He's clear. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. It's clear. Peter challenges them about their sin, tells them to repent. But he tells them, if you don't hear that prophet, if you don't hear the message of the gospel, if you don't obey it, that soul shall be destroyed from among the people. Oh, sinner friend, see this tonight. Unto you again tonight He's been preached. Unto you again tonight He's been set before you. Let me conclude. I want you to go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Here's the end of it all. Revelation chapter 7. Look with me at verse 9. John says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, Jews and Gentiles, and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to your God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." Great throng, friend. Great multitude that no man can number. Great multitude, home in heaven, safe. Days of suffering over. Home with the Lord in the land of the blessed. With the Redeemer they loved on earth, now they're with them in heaven. Great multitude. But Peter's clear. Whoever doesn't hear that prophet is going to be destroyed from among the people. The question is this, sinner. At the end of the day, when this old passing world is done, as we have sang in McShane's hymn, what multitude are you going to be in? Because the facts are, everybody in this meeting is going to be in one of the two. We're either going to be gathered home, undeserving that we all are, but gathered home in Christ, in the Beloved, in heaven, saved by grace, washed in redeeming blood. For in time we knew the joy of sins forgiven. We received mercy from God. We found peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But sinner, what about the other multitude that Christ spoke about when he described the two ends of all mankind? And he said this, as I look over this congregation, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, that multitude washed in redeeming blood, but the righteous, into life eternal. Sinner, unto you again tonight, Christ has been set before. The work's done. But it won't avail you one thing if you don't come. It'll only add to your eternal torment. To have known the way to glory. And to have perished. Repent ye. Be converted. That your sins may be blotted out. Sinner, it's time to seek the Lord.